Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. What's up? I'm Dick Marchinko. That was a dab there for those at home who were listening. Yeah.
You only use one arm. I don't think that counts.
Well, I'm trying to take better care of myself.
Okay.
I nearly threw my back out the other day.
Oh, God.
So I've just got to be careful. Who are you?
You need to warm up. I'm Peter.
Peter
Austin. Well, so when you say Dick Marchinko, it makes me want to include my surname because it sounds weird that you're like, I'm Dick Marchinko,
and
I'm Dick. Peter.
Well, we can do that again. Hello, welcome to Triple Jump Podcast. I'm Dick.
I'm Peter.
Excellent.
There we go.
This is a video game podcast where we talk about video game stuff. It's not an athletics podcast, even though the YouTube algorithm may tell you that it is. We do have a sponsor for today's show. We do rely on them, Peter, don't we?
Mm-hmm,
to sort of allow us to do the show for you every week. Peter has the ad read in front of him now.
I do, yeah. It's right here. Thank you to today's sponsor, Fontaine's Fisheries.
Oh.
Mmm. Smells delicious. No, this is all the tagline.
This is all written in there.
Smells delicious. No, it's not fish. It's not for eating. It's the new fragrance for women.
Oh.
Oh, lovely. Oh,
Fontaine's,
what's that you smell?
Fishery.
Oh, lovely Fontaine.
Oh.
Oh, what do you wear to bed, Marilyn? Just a couple of drops of Fontaine's Fisheries.
Nice. Mm. Is that sort of, does it sort of maybe have some kind of fish plasmids stuff in there?
Possibly, yeah. Have we had, I feel like we might have had a sponsor from Rapture already. I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Maybe not yet.
Possibly. Maybe the airline that crashed into the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
That sounds like the kind of company that would sponsor.
Well, now that we've talked them up, you know, you think about sort of wishing things into existence.
Fishing things into existence.
Perhaps they'll be the sponsor next week now that we've actively called them out.
True.
What are they called? Rapture Airlines? I don't know.
Probably. Until then, it's fortunate really that Rapture Airlines just happened to crash land on top of Rapture, isn't it?
Exactly.
Until then, if you want to smell great, fragrance for her or him.
Or him.
But it's actually for her.
Yes.
Fontaine's Fisheries. Mmm, smells deficient. Smells deficient.
Smells deficient. Mm, fishes.
Yay.
That's their phrase. Ba 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 ba. They're fishes. That's another one. Mm. They've got loads of slogans, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got too many.
Ba 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 fish.
You should
see their
lorry is just covered in strap lines.
Yeah.
Not made from wheat, made from fish instead, a bit.
Exactly.
What's that then?
Yeah. Have it your fish.
Yeah.
Excellent. I can't think of any more.
Question mark.
Fish. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
I kind of want to just keep doing it. Mad about fish. I'm trying to think of have a break, have a fish. There any more?
Every fish helps.
Kids and grown-ups love it, so that the happy world of fish. Question one. Mm. We were lying about that, by the way. That was a lie that we just told you.
What, that sponsor?
We don't rely on those sponsors to support us. We rely on our very lovely patrons over at patreon.com/team-triple-jump-up.
J-dump-up.
No, just jump, triple jump. And we take the questions for the show from them.
We do.
Because they've earned it and they deserve it. First, we turn to our wonderful Discord moderator, Jack Bradshaw.
Jackity Jack, Bradity Bradshawity Shaw.
That's it.
That's where that came from.
What his name is. If you could have any developer you want to make the next Star Wars game, who would you choose and why?
Why do loads of... We've had this a lot. People put full stops in the middle of sentences when they submit questions. If you could have any developer you want to make the next Star Wars game, who would you choose and why?
Who would you choose and why?
Someone else has done it in an upcoming question, I've noticed. But anyway, thank you, Jack. It's a very good question.
Welcome to Grammar Corner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe it's a slightly obvious answer.
Yeah.
But
Jeff Goldblum there.
Jeff Goldblum.
Little cameo.
I would love if Amy Hennig's Star Wars game just came back.
Yeah, so, Ragtag.
Yeah, Ragtag.
Visceral Games.
And that was being made by Visceral. But, I mean, I guess I don't know if I can choose Visceral as an option, given that...
I'm wearing a Pisceral shirt.
You are. Get Visceraled.
Get Visceraled is what it is. It says get Pisceraled. It's a Barbara Piss shirt available now at triplejoe.mo/shop.
I guess given that Visceral no longer exist, exist.
Stop.
I'll try. Maybe I could still sort of cash in on Amy Hennig's talents by giving it to Naughty Dog.
You said Amy Hennig's talons. Talents. Here she comes, the big eagle, Amy Hennig.
Yeah, have you ever noticed they always, when they film Amy Hennig, it's always from sort of here upwards, so you can't see the claws that she's got.
And she's wearing a face mask, so you can't see her beak, because she's a bird.
She is. It's very difficult to write a story when you've got talons.
She
like
does
that.
Exceptionally well. She's got great talent.
Yeah, with her.
Britain's Got Talent.
With her beak and Amy Heron.
Shut up.
Right. I mean, this is purely because Ragtag sounded good, and I kind of wish that it had been made.
Yeah.
But, who was working on 1313?
Oh goodness, no, I couldn't tell you either.
I can look it up.
That was a pre Disney acquisition.
It
was, that one. I mean, I think we're all in kind of agreement that EA has dropped all of the balls, man.
Every single one
with Star Wars so far. Maybe Jedi Fallen Order will be good. Maybe it'll be fine.
I
don't think it'll be bad.
Looks
but
a bit better.
It does. It looks better than what they showed off.
Yeah,
for sure. I've got a few suggestions here. I think back in the day, BioWare, I think, were going to make a Star Wars game.
Right.
And then they couldn't get the license, so they made Mass Effect. And that was pretty good. And a Star Wars game in that style would be amazing.
Absolutely.
Not so much current day BioWare. They're not really what they used to be.
No.
A lot of key staff have left, and they're all signed off with stress.
Yeah.
And they're all sad because EA and Anthem, and that's a bit of a bummer, really. I would also posit that perhaps one of the current Call of Duty developers could make a really good, slick Star Wars game. No sabers.
No Jedis.
No Jedis, no force powers. But if you wanted a Rogue One style experience and you wanted a first person shooter, you can't really ask for much better in terms of bombastic, over the top. I know they haven't done a campaign for a year.
But when they do,
it's always ridiculously over the top. That'd be perfect for Star
Wars. That's a very good shout.
Sledgehammer Games, Infinity Ward, the other one, Treyarch, obviously. Treyarch. I love Treyarch. They're great. Just think how one. I think the only piece of Star Wars literature I've ever read,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
is one that was retconned when Disney acquired.
It's kind of ridiculous. Because
it's ridiculous and it's canon, or it was canon. It was called Death Trooper, and it was an actual zombie book with Han Solo and Chewbacca in it, where an Imperial Star Destroyer got overcome with some illness and it was just full of zombies. Zombie stormtroopers. And it was amazing. It was a great book. You can still get it, but it's not canon anymore, so what's the point? But if Treyarch were involved, you could have a zombies mode.
Oh, you could.
In the Star Wars game,
Zombie
and it
troopers.
Would just be reskinned, basically. Yeah. But I'd play it. That'd
I
be
would.
Amazing.
With all the different weapons and stuff, yeah, that'd be awesome.
The blasters and so on.
It was LucasArts, obviously, who developed 1313.
Oh, right. Okay,
well, they didn't develop it, did they? They didn't get very far.
Unfortunately not. Yeah. I've also put here Gearbox, I think, would... I mean, this is just sort of me just applying a Star Wars skin to games I already like.
Right.
I think Borderlands, but with Star Wars, or even if you wanted a brand new take on it, Insomniac, I think would give it a good run.
Yeah,
I mean, they do good stuff.
Seem to be able to turn their hand to anything.
Yeah,
you know, but whether it's a 3D platformer or I was going to say a shooter. Actually, you know, maybe not. They have some history in shooters, FPSs, but not.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, that's why I didn't touch it.
I just touched Peter's microphone because he was a little far away, and it just
lean
fell.
Into it. There we go.
Lean back.
We'll just see if that makes it to the end.
There we go. That's nice. That's a good
one. Insomniac seem to be able to sort of try various different things and get it pretty right.
They're pretty radical bunch, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Free radical
Free
bunch.
Radical.
Rip.
Dick.
Peter, you did get it right. You've only got a couple of weeks left.
Yeah, I know.
You're doing great.
We've got a Cooting Edge segment coming up now.
No.
Yeah.
Cooting Edge?
Yeah. You may remember we have done this once or twice previously.
Okay.
So you're going to have to try and think hard about what the format was.
Yeah.
It's called What We Play In.
Who?
Dick.
Peter.
We play video games.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to know which video games, game or games, are you playing at the present time?
Oh, well, I'm playing two video games, mm-hmm. and unfortunately it's been the same for the past like month or so.
Yeah.
So sorry everyone, but we got a Crash Team Racing tournament that kicks off, I think, tonight, mm-hmm. at the time of release of the podcast. That's Saturday night.
Yes.
It will run for 7 days. The final will be next Saturday. And we already know who wins.
Yeah.
But as a result of that, obviously, we've been playing some Crash Team Racing, which is great.
Yeah.
And another fantastic thing is that the Grand Prix has started.
It has.
In Crash Team Racing. This is, I think I now understand the big allure of seasons,
mm-hmm.
In Battle Royale games, like Fortnite and stuff. Never really got the attraction. But now, every 30 days, it seems there's going to be a new Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I don't think they did the best sort of job describing how the Grand Prix works, mm-hmm. in the trailers. It was just complicated images with like loads of stuff on it. Basically, for 30 days... There's a load of unlockables that you can get. There's three tiers, bronze, silver, and gold. And as you get more points from doing challenges, mm-hmm. That bar fills up and fills all the way up, and you finish the bronze tier, and then you start the silver tier, and so on. And across this bar are various unlocks. There are characters, there are carts, there are customization things.
Yep.
But certain objects within that will give you a boost to these, I think it's nitro points is, mm-hmm. what they're called.
Yeah, that's right.
You get a boost to the nitro points depending on what you've got equipped.
Mm-hmm.
So currently I have one of the new racers, I have one of the new carts, and I have one of the new sets of wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And combined, I have a 30% increase of the nitro points earned. So it encourages you to play with stuff that you don't normally use.
It's an interesting way of doing it, yeah.
Yeah, and it has daily challenges, weekly challenges, and like some pro-level challenges as well, all with varying different things. So there's... You don't have to play online for this stuff, which is nice. There is a lot of stuff you can do offline on your own, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 30 days to grind your way through getting all of the races and all of the unlocks. And I think that's great. I think it's awesome. I got up to the silver tier last night just messing around.
Oh, nice.
And I got Torna now.
Yeah.
And I got one of the trophy ladies from the first game. Can't remember what she's called. The scary, frightening umbrella women.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's really good. Have you had a chance?
I've not yet, no. I mean, I was doing a bit of an edit last night after hours, so I got home at, I don't know, 8 p.m. or something. And that
Look
point,
at this hardworking boy.
Oh, yeah, just slaving away, making it all that premium content for you. but then by the time I got home, I just thought, I'll have something to eat and just kind of go to bed. But I really wanted to. I'm looking forward to like when I can finally just sit down and have a really long session on it.
You're going away this weekend again, aren't you?
Yeah,
You're
I
not
am.
Allowed.
So I can't play this weekend.
Universe doesn't want him to play it.
Tonight, me and you are like recording something from home, aren't we? Which...
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, there's my evening gone.
Yeah.
Never mind.
And tomorrow I'm traveling on the train home. So...
all the way.
All kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, that was... I was going to probably bring Crash Team Racing to what we play in as well. So that's convenient that we've sort of double... We've tag-teamed it, Crash Tag Team Racing.
Oh, don't talk to me about that terrible game.
But I think it's very exciting that, like you say, I finally kind of understand what seasons are now, or what, you know, the point of it.
How it works,
is.
Yeah.
And the idea that, you know, I don't know how long they're going to be introducing new races in every season. Maybe they'll get to a point where they're like, okay, that's all the races we had now.
There's five in this one.
Yeah, there's five in this one, a whole team, if you like,
mm-hmm.
Up in the upcoming season is sort of the baby team. So Baby Crash, Baby Coco.
Oh, wow.
Baby
I didn't know
Cortex,
that.
Baby Cortex and Baby T, the little dinosaur from Crash
Okay, I like the dinosaur one. Yeah. I like that one.
And the season after that, Spyro. It's the Spyro Grand
Spyro
Prix.
Spyro season. Also, one thing we didn't mention, there is a new track available just right now.
Oh,
that
yeah.
You can just go and race on. And it's good. It's a good track.
There's a couple of them, I think. There's three.
Oh, are there?
As far as I'm aware.
There's one that's available currently. I don't know if you have to unlock the rest,
but
there's one now that's just been patched into the game. You can just play it. You don't have to unlock it or anything. It's just there. So that's awesome. That's their first, I'm assuming, original track,
mm-hmm.
which is really good.
Yeah.
It's a great track.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Based on, it's based on previous games in the series, which is awesome.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
So it's like from Crash 3's time exploits.
Let's do the time warp.
Warps, yeah.
Mm.
But what most excites me is that given that there's five unlockable characters in this Grand Prix, there's like at least four, possibly five in the baby season coming up. Does that mean that not only will Spyro be unlockable in Spyro Season, but maybe four other Spyro characters?
That would be nice.
It seems a bit of a stretch. But,
Sparks.
Sparks.
Sparks, just...
Hunter, maybe.
Oh, God. New Hunter. Sexy Tawna. No,
oh,
not
Allura.
Tawna. Allura, that's the one.
She's got some serious
allure. She's the sexy one from Spyro,
the
as opposed to the sexy
girl.
One from, yeah. from Crash Bandicoot. The
and they're
one,
all anthropomorphic.
They are. They're all super just hot, weird animal
yeah.
people. You had a full-size poster, didn't you, sent to you last year? A full-size Tawna. I keep forgetting her name. Allura poster.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took it home. It's framed now. It's at the end of his bed.
Where I've put that? Yeah, I've put it at the end of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
That would be weird. Like standing upright, just in a frame at the end of my bed.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you mean on the wall at the end
yeah,
of the bed.
Yeah.
Not just sort of like weirdly balanced at the foot.
No,
of the
so
bed.
She's always watching you on the bed.
Yeah.
No, that would be weird, Peter.
That would be weird.
You've got it in your bedroom wall. That's normal.
That's not weird. No, I've got it on the ceiling above the bed so yeah. I can look up at her as I sleep.
Always.
So that's Crash covered.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Besides that, I finished off the DLC for the Fight for Sanctuary, which was the free add-on that bridges the story between Borderlands 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really bloody good value for money, Peter, I tell you what.
Yes.
Because it's free. But it just goes on for ages. There's loads of great dialogue. Fairly typical Borderlands design in that some of the side quests are a bit busy work. They're worth it for the story and the dialogue, but it's a lot of them are, hey, can you go and talk to this person? Damn, they don't have what I need. How about this person?
Right.
This person, this is going to require you to go back to one of, in fact, every single one of the five new areas we've added. You've just got to go there and fight all the enemies again. Have fun.
Okay.
It's like, it's a little tedious, but you know what? I forgive you. It was free and it was fantastic. So
great.
Yeah, really good.
What I was going to bring to what we play in until I realized that there's a new season of CTR to talk about was Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
I'm streaming that. The PS1 version, that's going on my Monday streams. I'm going to do at least one more session of that, possibly finish the whole game. Sorry, was that? I thought your phone just went off then.
No. I would never take a personal call during such an important thing that we're doing.
I thought there was going to be a cut there, so I'm sort of awkwardly.
No, it's fine. There's no cut. And I don't even want to look for this point in the video, so I'm just sort of talking over it so I don't have to cut it out.
Really?
We're making light of it right now. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
We're making a joke about it. It's Allura calling me, Peter.
Hello?
She wants to talk to you.
It's Allura.
She said, I heard you took my poster down because your fiancé felt uncomfortable.
My fiancé loved it.
Did she?
She was all for it.
Excellent.
Anyway, PS1, Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. It's really janky and weird, but I love it for being like that.
I got stuck on that game for so long.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you were doing?
I think I was in Naboo.
Yeah,
and
that's so hard.
There was a bit where you have to jump between platforms, and I think the camera angle prevented me from properly seeing where I needed to go,
yeah.
And so I just hit a dead end, and I stopped for ages, and then I was just messing around on it, and I eventually found where I needed to go. I think I got to the end, though. I remember fighting Darth Maul.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was basically him just spinning his lightsaber round and round, and me spinning my lightsaber round and round as well. Yeah, just whacking each other with lightsabers.
Yeah.
And
basically, if you go in with more health than him, you're probably just going to win. Like,
yeah.
There's no nuance to it. It's just, do I have enough health? Do I have above 72% or whatever?
Hang on, there's some sort of Gatling gun in here. I'll use this on Darth Maul
yeah.
instead.
So that's fun. That's the other thing I'm playing. But
excellent.
Very good. We've got a question here.
Yes.
From someone with two first names, Ben Dick. Do you want to read it?
Sorry, I read the first one. You're welcome to take this one if
oh,
you
you're
fancy.
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. This is from Robert James.
Two first names.
Have you reluctantly played a game, then ended up loving it more than the games you used to hold as your favourites? If it was a new genre to you, did it turn you on to similar games? In brackets, it says, Nier Automata, or Automata,
if you're serious,
serious about this, is so good, I might try Dark Souls. Thank you, Robert, or James.
Or James.
Yeah.
James Robert. You absolutely should play Dark Souls, full stop. It doesn't matter if you enjoyed Nier or Automatoes
yeah.
Or not. Dark Souls is worth playing. Are there any games that sort of took your breath away?
I don't know. I'm sort of trying to think of one right now. So if you want to go first.
Okay, well, I've got a couple that I can talk about. I know for a fact, based on a previous conversation, that I believe you're in agreement with me, at least on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oblivion. When I first saw Oblivion being played for the first time,
yeah,
I could not believe that it existed.
Right.
I was at my friend's house. He had a 360. He picked a flower, like some kind of plant. He just picked it up off the floor, and then it was in his inventory, and then it was gone from the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't believe it. It absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it didn't release on PS3 for a considerable amount of time after that. And even then, the PS3 hadn't even launched at that point. Right. So I didn't even have a PS3. And so I desperately went around trying to find games like The Elder Scrolls to play. I played Untold Legends on PSP. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of other really crap RPGs on PS2, like Western fantasy RPGs.
Right.
And I just nothing scratched that itch. But I tried. Like, I tried a lot of games to try and fill that void, to try and get something similar. And then when it eventually came out, it destroyed my life.
Yeah, sort of got you onto RPGs.
Yeah, Western RPGs. I never really played Western RPGs. I liked Final Fantasy, but I never really played anything outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that one for sure.
Okay, I mean, yeah, like I guess that would count in a certain respect, but I certainly didn't play that reluctantly. You know, that was part of the question. Okay. So
the qualifier.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything I thought like, oh, I'll give this a go. I guess like I sat down and played Call of Duty 2, mm-hmm. the campaign mode. I'd been playing like multiplayer at a friend's house a fair bit, and I wasn't really into FPSs that much, and I kind of thought, yeah, all right, like I'll play it because it's a multiplayer game, like split screen, local split screen, we can play on one TV, so that's convenient. We'll play that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lent it to me, and he was like, oh, do the campaign, it's really good. And I was like, all right then. I loved that campaign so much. It takes place across like three or four, I think four, including, I think you play as the Germans at one point as well.
Okay.
But certainly three allied teams. You play as like different soldiers, but it is that kind of thing we've talked about in a previous podcast where there's a bunch of soldiers who come with you on like repeated missions, and right. you kind of feel like, I really hope he doesn't die, I really hope he doesn't die. I remember playing as the British team. There's this like guy with a big ginger sort of chin strap called McGregor. I remember it really vividly, and they were fighting out in I think Tunisia. And I remember getting like close to the end of the British segment of the campaign, thinking, it's crunch time. McGregor, please don't die on me. You've saved my skin so many times. I want you to live. Yep. And from that point on, I think I was a lot more open to playing like first person campaigns. You know, I'd always been like happy enough to play it for multiplayer, but like, you know, I was like, yeah, okay, maybe these single player games can be good. They're not just like mindless, senseless gun fests, you know?
That's fair. I have a similar one with Persona 4 Golden.
Oh, yeah.
Which was recommended to me for so long and had been out on PlayStation Vita for a little while. And I went on holiday with my family and I took my Vita with me and I had Persona 4 Golden and I think Virtua Tennis World Tour or something like that. So I created my Virtua Tennis because I didn't want to start this massive game potentially because I'd heard a lot about it, but I was like, I could very well hate this. So I started up Virtua Tennis World Tour, created my, because I was creatively bankrupt apparently, created Andy Murray but misspelled Murray.
Oh,
didn't put the A in at the end, so it's just Murray.
Curry.
Murray, yeah. And played that and just kept playing it until I hit a brick wall basically of progression. And then I still kept playing it. And then I was like, okay, fine.
Right,
fine.
I'll play this other
game.
I'll give this
other game a go. And it just completely
took your breath away.
Boom, boom. Yeah, it was amazing. And I played it all the time for the rest of the holiday. Any time we went anywhere, I was playing it in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I was just playing it constantly. And then it took over my life. And once I finished it, there was a huge void there where it once filled, because just like you and McGregor, Peter and McGregor, there was a camaraderie there between the characters. And I was like, I feel like these guys are my real friends. I don't want them to go. I don't want this to end. So I started Persona 3, and that was good.
Mm-hmm.
It also got me to give anime a try.
Oh, yeah.
Because I watched the Persona 4 anime, or the Persona 4 animation, as it's called, and it was excellent. And I was like, this is great. You know what? Maybe I've discovered anime. And then I watched another anime, and I thought, actually, no.
No, never
mind. Screw this. Maybe I was misled.
Yeah.
Anime is not for me. Never mind. But Persona 4 anime, though, really good. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of tangentially there, I think.
Yeah.
Made me try an anime, which I'd never thought I would do and have never tried since.
Right.
So there we go.
Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, there's not like a great deal of answers I can give for that question because I think I'm quite stubborn. And therefore, if there's a game that you could say reluctantly I would play, I just probably wouldn't play it in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. So I tend to only really play stuff where I'm like, yeah, I want to play this. So I'm probably missing out on a lot of these sort of epiphany moments where I'm like, oh, I've given this weird genre a go that I don't really have any interest in, and actually I want to play loads more of it. So
I'd say it doesn't really happen so much anymore because every game that comes out is so heavily publicized that if you're going to find something unique and interesting that you wouldn't expect to find, it's probably going to be an indie game, and it's probably not going to last that long.
Yeah.
There's probably not going to be another one for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're far more likely to stumble across that stuff even 10 years ago than you are now.
Yeah.
Just because sort of mid-tier games don't really exist.
Yeah.
And you kind of know how you feel about AAA games before they come out, really.
Yeah, and you just know what they're going to be, so you can kind of make up your mind whether you're going to like it or not. So yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, James Robert. Something feels a little off in here.
It does, a bit unusual.
A bit weird. It's time for weird news. Oh my God.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I've crinkled my papers.
Oh, no. Well, that's what you get for being so rough about your weird news.
Yes, it is. I've got a weird thing to talk about today.
Have you?
It was actually a bit spoiled for choice. I had two, but fortunately, one of them only came out today, so it'll still sort of qualify for next week, so I'll bring that along.
Spoiled for choice,
really? Yeah, there's so much weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This is from PC Gamer.
Uh-huh.
And they say...
Once it loads.
This is by Wes Fenlon.
Wes Fenlon.
Only the author, the writer, had loaded, so I just thought I'd give that bit of information to fill the time.
Sweet.
This controller mod uses actual salt to rage quit games.
Okay.
So, subtitle, a little salt water and an Arduino can do wonderful things, especially
Arduino.
When you're mad. I don't know what an Arduino is. I shouldn't have started reading that.
Neither you or I are very cultured, it seems.
No, I probably didn't even pronounce it properly. We're all mad online sometimes, and the more we protest that we are not mad, the madder we surely are. And so the modder, Eric... And so modder, Eric,
yes.
Not the modder, who runs the YouTube channel Insert Controller here, has built a controller for all of us. When you get so salty that you can't stand another second of your stupid team in Overwatch or that stupid sniper who keeps shooting you in the head, you can literally pour some salt into a glass of water to quit the game. This is how mechanical engineers write poetry.
Wow.
So there's a demonstration video of it. Basically, there's just this little chip thing inside a glass of water, a little cable coming out of it, which is hooked up to the computer, and he's just got one of those massive tubs of table salt, and he just pours it into the glass, and then the game just pauses, goes down to quit, presses X or whatever, goes to yes, presses X, and the game quits.
That's amazing.
It's fantastic. The above video shows off this work of art. The trick is that adding salt to the water lowers the electrical... Let me put my glasses a little bit further up my nose.
Mm-hmm.
It lowers the electrical resistance, making it a better conductor, which can be detected by a couple of screws in the glass attached via wire. Via wire to an Arduino microcontroller.
Microcontroller.
Arduino.
Arduino.
When a change in resistance is detected, the microcontroller sends a command via USB and rage quits on the spot.
Fantastic.
Eric unfortunately doesn't show off the code required to make the Arduino pull.
It's fake.
That's unfortunate.
It's all fake.
I really wanted the source code. But it's fairly simple programming, says the writer of this article. And some of the functions are found on his website. He's done all sorts of other weird stuff, including a 2-2 motion controller for Smash Bros. Ultimate and the TF2 Nerf minigun. I think he just sort of makes interesting controllers and peripherals and things like that. But so check him out. Insert controller here. And thank you, PC Gamer, for that write-up of a slightly weird news story.
That is a weird news story.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to start putting that together. But I would imagine that he's just coded something that presses those button inputs.
Yeah, the moment it gets...
Once the signal's able to get there or something. Once there's a prerequisite amount of sodium. I don't know.
It does say in the article that it's actually a sort of a drawback that it uses the menu to quit, because real rage quit is just alt F4 is what it says.
Right.
So it should just send out an alt F4 command.
Just shut down the computer. Yeah. So it should smash your screen for you.
Okay, Alexa, blow up my house.
Confirm. You ready for mine?
Mm.
This is from Game Revolution. They're not the only people to report on this, but they were the first one I Googled.
Okay.
Here we go. Mm. Instagram pause. I've already messed it up. Never mind. Moving on to the next question.
Instagram pause.
Instagram cosplay model Belle Delphine sells Gamer Girl bathwater for $30 a jar.
But what? Actual...
Instagram cosplay model Belle Delphine sells Gamer Girl bathwater for $30 a jar.
But is that a term for something, or is it actual bathwater?
Well, we'll find out. Are you ready to take this journey with me?
If it's actual bathwater, I will be unhappy. I'm hoping it's a new fragrance for her or something.
Like fish from Fontaine Fishery. Okay. Instagram cosplay model Belle Delphine has thought up an inventive way to earn some cash on the side.
Oh God,
selling used Gamer Girl bathwater.
Oh my God.
Delphine, real name Belle Kirshner, has advertised the unusual product on her Instagram account, along with launching it on her official store. The bathwater is selling for a whopping $30 per jar.
Jesus.
With Delphine even poking fun at the product in a comment beneath her Instagram post advertising it. This is what generation you guys are in, she wrote, where girls sell their own bathwater. Just let that sink in.
Oh, God.
Cool. Delphine, who has a sizable following of over 3.8 million Instagram followers, previously courted controversy after setting up a fake Pornhub account. After telling her fans that she would create a Pornhub account if one of her photos received over 1 million likes, she celebrated hitting that milestone by posting a series of misleading videos on the pornography site.
Titled
PewDiePie Goes All the Way Inside Belle Delphine saw her eating a photo of the Swedish YouTuber.
Oh, I saw him do some sort of like response to that and I didn't know what it was. I think
Well, there we go.
Okay.
So this is the Instagram post here. There she is sat in the bath holding a controller in one hand.
Is that the jar?
And there's the jar.
That's tiny.
It's a tiny jar.
I thought for $30 you're going to get like a...
What, like a gallon of bathwater? I don't think value is the important bit here.
The more that you get, I think the more of a raw deal you've had.
Yes, it's far worse.
Yeah.
The comment underneath here is, I am now selling my bathwater for all you thirsty gamer boys.
Oh, no.
With the emoji of the water droplets.
Oh,
now Belle is back on the grift, with the reaction to her new venture generating a mixture of bemusement and appreciation for the Instagrammer's unashamed hustling.
I mean, yeah.
How can we compete? Tweeted the energy drink company G Fuel. The Gamer Girl bathwater does come with a warning on its product page. Bottled while I'm playing in the bath. This really is bathwater.
Playing in the bath?
Yeah, I think playing games, I hope, in the bath.
Right.
The product's description reads, disclaimer, this water is not for drinking and should only be used for sentimental purposes. I'm sorry, Belle, but someone's going to be doing some awful stuff with that bathwater.
No, I don't think sentimental. I think more like seminental, probably.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Highbrow.
Yeah.
Considering the kind of person who would willingly buy a product called Gamer Girl bathwater, we're unsure if that warning will be heeded.
Yeah.
Still, kudos to those with the cash to splash on a stranger's bathwater. We're not sure if that's something they'd want to share with their friends and family, but at least it comes in a nice looking jar.
Oh my
and that's
God.
The end of the article. That's a great write-up. Thank you, Game Revolution.
It is.
Yeah, so...
Do you know the worst thing about this?
What's the worst thing about the Gamer Girl bathwater, Peter?
She's sold out.
Is she really sold out?
She sold out of bathwater.
Peter told me just before we started recording that he did hear about this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We give each other a vague idea of what to avoid, and I said bathwater yesterday.
And I deliberately was going to avoid all bathwater-related stories.
Set up keyword censoring, bathwater.
Then I got home, and like one of the first things that my fiancé said to me was like, have you heard about this, whatever her name is? And I was like, oh yeah, what? And she's like, she's selling her bathwater.
Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, and so I thought I'd react...
You did a great job.
Well, I did, and then I was hoping at the end you'd go...
And it's now sold
best
out.
Best of all, Peter, it's sold out, but you didn't. And I think the audience deserve to know that it's sold out.
It has sold out. What I would like to know is...
How do you sell out a bathwater? Just have another bath.
Well, that's the thing. How are they going to know that it's a Gamer Girl has been in it?
Yeah,
you
right.
could literally just do that, right? Have you seen Orange is the New Black?
Mm-hmm.
When they have the sort of the prison business selling prisoners' panties?
Oh, yeah.
And in the end, they just start like... getting clean panties and rubbing them on various kitchen ingredients. And like, there we go, it's used now. And no one's going to know. She could just be selling you water in a jar.
She could.
I mean, it is that already. She's taken a publicity photo. There's no way that there are any codes or violations that she perhaps she's not meeting here by not sitting in the bathwater before packaging
playing
it.
Xbox or PC or whatever.
You're just buying what you've been hustled, thirsty gamer boys, and she's mocking you as well while she does it. Although some people maybe are into that. We don't want to yuck anyone's yum.
I am morbidly curious as to what people are going to do with this. And I almost want to, you know, leave it a couple of weeks until people have received their jars of bathwater and then just start Googling, you know.
God, on 4chan is probably where it's all going to blow up, isn't
it? Yeah, videos of I blank with, what's her name?
Belle Delphine.
Cara Delevingne's.
Cara Delevingne's eyebrows.
Bathwater, you know.
It's going to be Bedlam.
It is.
Or Bathlam.
Yeah.
Bedlam, Bathlam, and Beyondlam, possibly. Let us know what you think, though, of that in the comments. Or maybe don't. Maybe we all just agree that we don't talk about this again. We revisit in 2 weeks, as you said, after we've Googled what people have done with the bathwater. Depends. Do people want to know that?
It's a shame we don't do post some tat anymore, because someone could have sent us some... bathwater.
Someone could just send us some bathwater. I mean, we don't want your bathwater, all due respect. We don't even want hers.
No, we don't want any. I don't know why you're just distinguishing between the two. Oh, we'll have hers, but not yours.
Yeah, we don't want your bathwater, but we'll take hers.
Yeah.
Anyway, part of the problem. Third question. Question three. This is from Liam Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
After watching Peter's playthrough of Beyond Good and Evil and the recent talk of a prequel being released.
Full stop.
What video game would you like a prequel to? I personally would like one for The Last of Us, seeing what Joel and his brother Tommy got up to until their separation.
Mm.
That would be a good one. I'd be interested in seeing that as well.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you, Liam.
I think The Last of Us is the kind of game where we'll probably get this sequel and that will be it.
Yeah, I suspect so.
I'm amazed they did a sequel, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, so am I.
So, there we go.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see.
I think the ending was too much of a question mark, though. I think if they'd rounded it off just a tiny bit more, then I don't think they should have. Maybe they shouldn't have even done a sequel. Actually, I'm a little bit concerned that they might. You know, they ended on such a high.
It's
going to have to be so good.
I think it will be, but I don't think lightning will strike thrice.
No.
So let's just leave it there. But what about you, Peter? Are there any games you would like to see a prequel to from a story? I suppose this question is purely, really, relating to story. Because if you want more gameplay, you can just get a sequel.
You can get a sequel.
If you want a prequel, you're specifically going after more story.
Origins and stuff, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I don't know. I kind of... Well, see, they're doing... Aren't they doing an Uncharted movie now? Well, there's been talk of an Uncharted movie for years and years.
Yeah.
But now there's like a bit
Tom Holland's on it.
Yeah, Tom Holland is apparently on it, and it's like a young Drake, and it's a prequel Drake. Mm. I know we got a little bit of that in Uncharted 4.
Yes.
I don't think I'd like to necessarily see more of actual young orphanage Drake, mm-hmm. but just some of his like first exploits. You know, almost like a Tomb Raider Origins kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Sort of when he really... when he went into his, like, his first tomb and was just met with, like, so much awe and wonder. Because that's got to be,
that's
you know,
true.
A big moment. Like, his first kind of big archaeological discovery.
I'm just going to have a quick look at when Uncharted Golden Abyss, which was the Vita game,
right.
when that was set. Because I think that might have been before Drake's Fortune. But I'll have...
Because
he was already pretty seasoned by Drake's Fortune, the first game. So I'll have a look.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm interested to know where he got his skills. Yeah, I've not actually played that game. I've only played the actual home console.
It's fine.
Versions, but
it's all right.
That's something that I'd be interested in.
So the story is set sometime before the events of Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
Ah.
So he's got a rival in this one,
right.
A rival explorer, Jason Dante. I can't remember a single thing about that game. It was fine.
Okay.
It was fine. But it did take place before the first game. So, yeah, even earlier than that. You're right, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Equally, the story of... I know I talk about it a lot, but the story of Borderlands isn't really there in the first game. You sort of have to look quite... Beyond the immediate story of what's happening in the game, it doesn't do a great job of filling you in on what came before.
Okay.
And since then, I've sort of pieced together from various videos and, like, actually paying attention to what was going on that... This planet, Pandora, was colonized, and basically, and I think I'll probably get a few details wrong here, but it was basically run by the Dahl Corporation, which are have long since left because of the inhospitable nature of the planet. And they flew in loads and loads of convicts and prisoners, a bit like Australia,
right.
To sort of mine the planet for natural resources and that sort of thing. And then when they left... They then became the bandits and raiders that now occupy that planet. So I would be interested in a game maybe set around that time, perhaps as one of the first people arriving on Pandora and discovering its various horrors and going between all these little settlements that are, you know, that are just starting up. Sort of like, kind of like the New World, sort of, you know, like When America was just getting started, you know?
Yeah.
When they all show up and there's like little settlements and townships all over the place. I mean, it's kind of like that in Borderlands still. Right.
Yeah.
But you do see in Borderlands lots of ruined buildings and cities and like billboards that clearly used to be really nice. Like there are billboards that say welcome to Pandora and they're all just tattered and exhausted and stuff. So it's almost post-apocalyptic in a world that was already post-apocalyptic.
Right.
So I would be very interested in seeing what it looked like at its height. There's lots of ruined roads and collapsed bridges and stuff. Like, what did it look like when it was fine, you know? When it was fine. In a similar note, I don't think this would work as a game because it would just defeat the whole purpose of Dark Souls and how that works.
Right.
But I would love to see Dark Souls, like, just what the Dark Souls universe looked like before it fell into ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bustling place full of actual people.
Yeah.
You know, that would just be fascinating. Wouldn't really work from a gameplay perspective, but I'd still love to see that.
Yeah, well, like, something that I was going to suggest, but again, it actually has been done to a certain extent, and also probably wouldn't make a good game, unless it was set during the actual apocalypse sort of moment, would be BioShock pre sort of bad times.
Did you play the, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
the
this
DLC?
Has been done in the DLC of BioShock Infinite, right? Mm-hmm. There was a sort of a
Burial at Sea, I think
mission
it was called.
Set during the golden age of Rapture. I didn't play that, and that's why it wasn't my initial answer, but
it's super
aware
cool.
It exists.
That was a cool bit, saying that. Pre-ruin.
Mm.
But that's basically that's basically the angle we've taken here, is pre-everything ruined.
Yeah.
What did it look like? I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know. Thank you very much for that question, Liam.
That was a good question.
It's time to move on, Peter, to a ginormous massive discussion.
It's a big dick discussion.
Whoa. Big discussion time, peeps.
It's a major topic to talk about today.
Yeah? What is it?
It comes from Staniak the Great, who says, "Hi, Dick. Is it true my arm will fall off if I dab too hard?"
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, cool. Well, you can follow us on social media.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening.
We do have another question here.
Oh, yeah, it goes on for quite a while, actually, isn't it?
Well, we'll do this one, I guess.
Okay, yeah, go on then.
Smaller discussion than that, but David Lever says, "What do you think as regards Nintendo's recent statement against censorship, considering their past form and the stance of the other big players, especially Valve, who seem happy to let literally anything hang around on Steam?"
Censorship.
Delicious.
Broadly, I don't know if you're in agreement with me here, not a fan of censorship.
No.
I do think certain games that are too obviously hateful probably don't really deserve to be released on a platform where, I don't know, because I'm hesitant to say, as we've spoken about before, I'm hesitant to say, think of the children, because it's up to the parents, really. Mm-hmm. That's who it's up to. And that's basically what Nintendo say, as we'll get to in a minute. But on the whole, I think, unless something is truly, truly egregious and horrible, then let it fly, baby. Just mark it with a tag that lets people know what's in it.
Yeah, see, so I think there's like kind of like a, there should be, I think there should be a blacklist of certain topics or themes or like types of things that should be censored, because I don't really have a problem with gore for the most part. Like if something's like really, really sort of bloody and like horrible, then, you know, that just like, if you don't want to look at that, then just don't look at it. And likewise, you know, I think like swearing and like language, again, you know, if you don't appreciate that kind of thing, then just don't play the game. If, like you say, if it's flagged ahead of time, then it's fine. You can make your own decisions. One thing that I do think like should maybe be, I don't know, it's a slippery slope, because once you start censoring one thing, it's like, oh well, what if this thing offends someone else and that offends someone else? But things where it's almost like a kind of ideology that shouldn't really be promoted, you know. So if it's like, obviously if it's something that I think most people would accept as abhorrent, like, you know, racist or like hate speech or anything like that, then that ideally shouldn't be out there. If, again, but it depends on how it's done. You know, if
it's all the context,
isn't it? Then, you know, you would accept like a highbrow game based that's based in like, you know, Southern USA in the period of black segregation, that's going to feature people being racist and saying nasty words. But because of the context, it's like, oh well, no, but I accept, you know, the reason why this is in here. But if it's a game that's promoting, you know, if it's just making fun of a certain, you know, type of person because of like their race, and it's just, ha, look at this person, they are XYZ, then no, don't do that.
Yeah, I agree generally. It's so difficult, because then it would be on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a character in a game who's just a racist, and then, but he is, or she, hashtag women can be racist too, if they are surrounded by other people who are like, oh, shut up, or even if they're the bad guy, then it all depends on context.
Yeah.
If I think the problem largely here is what most people think of is like a Steam game that's just called The Racism Simulator,
well,
or something stupid like that. If it's part, if there's context to the racism or to the nastiness, then I think generally that's absolutely fine. It's not fine to do it in the real world, obviously, but as a piece of media, a work of fiction,
if a character's supposed
it's
to be an
fine.
Asshole. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just who they are. It's that's that. I mean, again, that doesn't translate to real life, but like if it's part of a work of fiction, a part of a work of art, if you will, then it's important that that remains untouched. But if it is purely there to offend and upset people, like it's the whole point of the game to be racist, then
or
that's,
it's full of like horrible caricatures that are there to be funny. You know?
Right, and then no, then absolutely not.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, let's hear what Nintendo actually said recently. So this is Nintendo President Shuntaro Furukawa, I believe.
Well done.
Thank you. At this year's annual general meeting, AGM, I could have just said that.
You could have.
Of shareholders. Nintendo, as do third parties in their software, applies for an objective rating from third-party organizations prior to release. If platform-holding companies choose arbitrarily, the diversity and fairness in-game software would be significantly inhibited. We provide parental controls that can be used to apply limits. So basically, they're saying that they have no intention of censoring anything. It's up to the developers and publishers how they want to self-regulate themselves in that regard. And Nintendo will publish it all. They have a ratings board that provides them with a rating, as do everybody. And there's parental controls that can be applied on the console.
That's crucial, the parental controls, for sure. And I think, like, parental controls, that deals with a lot of the controversial topics in gaming. You know, the other one is obviously loot boxes and stuff. Again, it's like, well, if you've saved your credit card on the console, then that's kind of your lookout, mummy and daddy, you know? It's up to you. And yeah, likewise, I think people who have a... You know, it goes back to when GTA was, like, in Congress, wasn't it, I think, for a time? When people were,
probably
like, debating
numerous
about,
times.
Well, yeah. Talking about how, you know, this is absolutely abhorrent. This shouldn't be allowed. I think it was GTA 3 when you could sleep with a prostitute or have a prostitute in your car and then kill her and she drops all the money.
Yeah. It's up to you to do that. The game doesn't do that for you.
Yeah, like, number one, it's up to you to do that. So that's the player being terrible, not the game necessarily. But also, those games are rated 18. Mm-hmm. And I think by 18, someone is capable of, like, distinguishing, hopefully capable of distinguishing video game from real life.
Yeah.
And so it does come down to parental controls. I wouldn't necessarily want my 8-year-old son playing a game where you can get a prostitute into your car and then kill her.
No.
But I wouldn't let him.
And also, you wouldn't want to prevent anybody else who does want to do that from doing that. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean that somebody else also doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying that people, again, it feels weird to have to qualify this, but people do get upset about this kind of stuff online. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're saying the people who do support that love running over prostitutes in their car.
No.
It just means that one person wanting little Timmy not to see it shouldn't dictate how everybody else has to perceive or receive that game.
It's funny, though, because it is, again, like you were saying, it's kind of case by case, because while I might say in a kind of popular Western game like GTA, I might say, oh, well, you know, it's okay if you want to get a prostitute in your car and then kill her afterwards, because it's a game... It's 18 plus, just work it out, you know, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm usually pretty sickened by some of these Eastern, like, rape sim games that exist.
Right.
There's several of them. I covered one, like, a couple of years ago, I think in a What Culture list a long time ago, that was, you're, like, standing on the underground and, like, you just, like, reach up under underage girls' skirts. And, you know, I look at that and I'm like, well, that's terrible. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how I justify how to distinguish that from, because, you know, both involve a crime, you know, murdering a prostitute,
right?
Versus touching an underage girl, and you know, it's very difficult for me to say that one is worse than the other and one should be allowed and one shouldn't. But I personally feel like a rape simulator. I guess it's the focus, though, isn't it? Really,
right?
You know,
GTA isn't about running over prostitutes.
No, yeah.
Whereas this game is about that. But on the other hand, there is a market for that game, and there's a whole load of developers who exclusively make games like that, even if they're not as explicit as being a rape simulator.
It was called, like, Rape Play or something. That
right.
That's the name of the game.
I've heard about this on other podcasts as well, and it's an example that I'm going to cite as well, because I also reviewed this game for PlayStation Vita called Monster Monpiece,
right,
where you have to rotate the Vita, like, 90 degrees, so it basically looks like a touchscreen phone. So it's like a, you know, portrait mode.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, capture these monsters who are, like, very sexualized monster girls, basically, of unspecified age. You have to rub them, and they like being rubbed in different ways, and it's just, like, the worst thing. I don't think it shouldn't exist, but I do think that there should be, obviously, parental controls to stop children from playing that. It was also just a crap game.
Yeah.
I did not review it very well at all. But anyway, that was Nintendo's stance on it. It is also worth noting that Nintendo are historically child-friendly.
Yeah, they are.
So there's a very good chance that a lot of these developers and publishers just never even bothered to try and get their games. But now that they've said that, it'll be very interesting to see how many of these games are ported to Switch and other Nintendo platforms going forwards. Moving over to PlayStation. So PlayStation really it's always been marketed as sort of more of an adult's console.
Yeah.
That's always been its goal the entire time. And it really did used to be a home for all these strange, weird, niche Japanese titles.
Yeah, I've jumped the gun. Actually says in the notes here, maybe a little perverted, Japanese titles.
Right, exactly. Like, there's an audience for them. Some people like them, and increasingly PlayStation have been censoring things in the last sort of year or so, and it's been drawing them a lot of ire because there is an audience who like these games, and PlayStation are going to lose that audience to another platform that will have them, like Steam. Nintendo maybe,
or, Nintendo.
Or Steam. But president of Sony Japan, Atsushi Morita, has said what, Peter?
Regarding the regulation of the depiction of content, it's simply a matter of matching global standards. As for the freedom of expression, we have to think about what might be unpleasant for children and shield them from those things, while also thinking and assessing ways to find a balance for that expression.
So you kind of just, you want parental controls. They're already there. They exist on the console. It's marketed. It's got an age rating anyway.
Yeah.
Further censorship is unnecessary, in my opinion.
I think global standards is an interesting term there. You do have to kind of, because there is a difference between, you know, maybe what's acceptable in Japan versus Germany versus UK versus, I know Australia have...
Yeah, they have some issues, don't they?
They're quite sensitive with banning things that, for the rest of the world, all get released, you know? And Germany as well sometimes ban stuff. There was like, wasn't it green blood in Mortal Kombat in the German version?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there was no Hitler, was there, in Wolfenstein?
Well, no. I can kind of understand
that
one.
Yeah, no, that does make more sense. Yeah. But recently, PlayStation, you remember Super Seducer?
Oh, I certainly do. The dogfighting.
It's ridiculously over the top.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to it, really. But that was just not released on PlayStation. It was refused classification. Mm-hmm. They've requested that jiggle physics be removed from certain games.
Really?
Devil May Cry 5, was that the one? Is it 5, the one that came out this year?
Yeah, I think so.
That was censored too.
I heard this.
They just added like a bit of lens flare to a bit where there was some bum showing.
Yeah, she wasn't even. It wasn't even nipples or.
No, it wasn't
frontal.
Even like a sexual. It was sexualized, but it wasn't really a sexual thing. And there was outcry about that because it's like, this is already an adult game on a supposedly adult focused console, and now you're nannying.
A bit of
people,
bum is probably okay.
I would say. You're nannying people who are discerning adults who can make decisions for themselves. I'm all for protecting children from accessing content like this, but there are already things set up to do that.
Yeah.
I don't, any further steps I think are unnecessary, and they are just it's just almost a little bit insulting to people.
It is a bit
that they can't be trusted because or that someone in another country might get upset. So like, well, then localize it for them.
Yeah.
Or don't release it there, but don't tell everyone how they have to have it.
Yeah, you're right.
Steam.
I mean, Steam, it appears that like anything can be released on Steam. Certainly Super Seducer, I'm sure, was probably on Steam. I know it was on PC anyway. I think probably Steam. But there was that... do you remember that game where it's set in like a house party and you can like... it's got sort of a branching thing where there's like... by doing different things, it was like really bad. It was like an asset flip game. You're able to sleep with different girls at the party, but it's very kind of chauvinistic and you know, they're not treated very well.
Just an amateur bad game.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
You know, I don't think it just shouldn't exist, but it's also just kind of awful. You know, that's the thing. You can disagree with something, but you have to make a pretty good argument for it not to exist.
Yeah.
For example, according to Polygon, midway through last year, Valve made headlines after announcing that it would allow anything on its storefront that was not illegal or straight up trolling. And now we go to the BBC. Rape Day, a controversial game which allows players to kill and rape women, has had its release cancelled on gaming platform Steam after thousands of people signed online petitions calling for it to be banned.
Yeah.
So in that instance, I think it's fairly cut and dry. Mm-hmm. A game about raping women, not okay. Never okay. Even if it's got an audience, that's the kind of subject matter and the kind of focus that really... It should be obvious that you don't want that on your platform.
Incidentally, not the same as Rape Play, which is the one I was talking about, which did make it through to at least a Japanese release.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, It's difficult. I don't know where you draw the line. I think, yeah, maybe it's partly down to what the actual focus of the game is on. So, yeah, GTA has a bunch of illicit and illegal activities in it, mm-hmm. much the same as how Rape Day, I'm sure, would have had many illegal activities in it. Yeah. But GTA is more of a focus on stealing cars, Grand Theft Auto, and, you know, kind of drug cartels and things like that, rather than Prostitute Killing Simulator 2019, you know?
Right. And that's the thing. It's worth noting that Steam does have a system for keeping these kind of products away from younglings. Mm-hmm. It's marked as an adult-only title, which means that you can't see it unless you're logged into Steam and have opted to see games of that nature in your feed. They've also pulled a school shooter game in the past due to public pressure. The thing is, there's a big difference. These games aren't being censored. They're just being refused release on a certain platform.
True. Someone could sort of self-publish it if they wanted to.
Right. And I think they did say that they were going to try and find, so the developer of Rape Day was going to try and find somewhere else to release it. Christ. But I think what it all boils down to, as we've said already, is context. Mm-hmm. If your game is all about something awful, I mean, I don't know if it should be censored, but it should certainly probably not be released on certain platforms.
Yeah.
And if your game features that stuff, I don't think it should be censored as long as it makes sense within the context of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not always as cut and dry as this is a game where you rape women.
Yeah,
and that's not going to be allowed. No, nobody should want to play that. I can't see that having any artistic merit whatsoever.
No,
but censoring games, for example, like Devil May Cry, because there's a bum shot at some point, that's just babysitting adults, and that's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, but those two things are at far ends of the spectrum, and in the middle, there's a huge grey area.
Yes.
A blurred line, if you'll pardon the horrible...
Oh, God, horrible pun. What a horrible song to go.
Yeah. but it is blurred lines in so much as where do you draw that line, you know? Mm. Like... What about, I don't know if Steam allow this, but I don't know if there's like VR porn games on Steam. But if there is, you know, where does that fit in terms of like a rape simulator? You know, is it okay if she's just a consenting virtual character, but is definitely completely naked? That's probably okay, I suppose.
I think so, yeah. As long as it's not saying you are sexually assaulting this person.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So you're saying that that's okay. But then what about a game that features a little bit of, you know, resistance from the person that you're talking to?
Right. I mean, there are entire genres of pornography that focus on that. And
exactly.
Obviously it's all fictitious. So
where
do you draw the
exactly,
line?
Where does it suddenly become like, well, no, you can't have a game called Rape Day on there. Of course you can't. Well, okay. No. But can you have, you know, a game which features a lot of sexual violence, but they just market it under... This game is not called the rape game. It's called the game where we go around breaking into people's houses, you know?
Right.
That's tricky.
It's really tricky. And we've done our best, as we hope you can appreciate, to provide a balanced view on this because we've given our opinions, but we've also shown what these three different companies have done and their approaches and what they've done in the past and what they're doing now. Again, it's just a very difficult one to call. We're not in a position to make these calls.
Definitely not.
I imagine that the people who are under immense pressure from advertisers and all kinds of other bodies, that sometimes they maybe don't consider the consumer's opinion, really, at the end of the day, because they need to keep other people happy in this regard. They couldn't care less.
Or the other way around, you know, if they're under a lot of pressure but by, you know, their audience to or their consumer base to take this game off your store, but they're actually making maybe a fair amount of money from it, you know.
Yeah.
Then the other way around, really, they're kind of thinking, well, I'd kind of rather not, to be honest. But
it's a very difficult area. But as always, we do want to hear what you think in the comments below. I think it's pretty obvious, but should Rape Day have been removed from Steam?
Should the public, the school shooter one have been removed from Steam?
Yeah. And are you okay with Sony or PlayStation making the call to have jiggle physics removed from a game. Personally, I don't think jiggle physics really add anything other than just sort of cementing gaming sort of 15, 20 years ago in the past. But I don't think they should just be removed because that's a kind of game and some people like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen as much anymore because the industry's moved on. But when it does, I don't think necessarily there should just be a blanket rule of, well, we can't do that anymore.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, I won't miss jiggle physics if they vanish. But, like, I don't think that, like, they should be forced out and that anyone who wants to include jiggle physics in their games should be, chastised for it.
Especially using the justification of think of the children, because I think that's just such a BS reason now, parents have to take responsibility anyway. That's a point we've always made in these podcasts when talking about this stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. But equally, parental controls are so comprehensive now.
Oh, yeah.
You can control the most minute stuff on these consoles. They really do give you every tool to make sure your child doesn't play this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can't blame the platform holder. And as such, the platform holder shouldn't feel like they need to take these steps anyway, unless there's a different reason that they're just not saying.
Yeah.
Which is, we've got to keep shareholders happy. Can't have the jiggle physics anymore. Mm-hmm. Again.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, it's a really tough one to call, but do let us know in the comments what you think of this whole debacle and how you think Nintendo's going to get on now that they're going to have a load of weird games coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Because they've said they're not going to censor them.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there we go. Peter, where can people find us online?
We are online at Team Triple Jump on various websites and social medias. YouTube.com/Team Triple Jump, Twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump, Twitter and Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so at Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump, and you'll be able to submit questions for this podcast. The podcast itself, if you're watching on the video version, you can get the audio version at play.acast.com/s/Triple Jump. That's not Team Triple Jump,
just Triple Jump.
The website is tripleju.mp, triplej.mup. And the Discord is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump.
Wonderful. If you'd like to follow us both on Twitter, you can do @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude, and on Instagram @ThatPeterAustin and @BenPotter20. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch, Thursday being on YouTube. Mm. Worst Games is fortnightly, but if you're a patron, you get it 2 days early on the Friday. There's no Worst Games this week, but there will be one next week.
Yes.
Finally, the podcast is every Saturday. Please leave us a review on your platform of choice. It helps something about algorithms or something like that. And please do check out the Crash Team Racing tournament, which kicks off tonight at the time of release and is ongoing for the entire week.
That leaves just enough time to thank once again today's sponsor. Oh, madam, you smell delicious. May I take you out for a beautiful dinner at a lovely restaurant? Because you... Oh, I know that smell.
That's really nice.
Fontaine's Fisheries. A couple of drops of Fontaine's Fishery. Delicious. Thank you.
Delicious. Fish. Mm.
Fish. Fishers. Fish. Sid Fishers.
That's why mums go to fish.
It is. You're right.
Excellent.
I'd rather have a bowl of fish.
Fish. Yeah. Tiny honey sugar. I can't say those words anymore.
No. In a little fish jacket.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening/watching, everybody at home. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.